light up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 349. I'm Lisa Sheps, joined expertly, perkily, and funnily by my co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro. You are listening to us on KOOP, Hornsby, Austin, 91.7 on your FM dial, streaming live at koop.org. Please stay with us.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
It is Wednesday, February 24th, 2016, on the show today. We have the folks from Carnival Brasileiro, which I'm sure I mispronounced. Also, Austin Theater Project, our very, very, very close friends, are here to talk about, sing, and tell us about First Date. And of course, we'll have lively discussions, including news and views of the around the world in Austin, in New York, in Chicago, in Dallas, in Houston, in Amarillo, and other Texas cities. We'll be right back.
Seasons of
love. If you're going to talk, Barbara, you need to be on a microphone.
Who's singing that?
That is sung by somebody named Jonathan Larson.
Really?
Yes.
I heard that version.
That was Jonathan Larson singing Seasons of Love from Rent. And Jonathan Larson, as everybody knows, is the
no
fellow who...
with us.
He's no longer with us. He wrote the show, and he passed away the day it opened off Broadway. Mm. Or previews, started previews off Broadway. Suddenly, of a heart something or other. It was a...
aneurysm or something.
I believe so. But the reason why I played that is what I wanted to play is I was listening to, in my new car, I have XM, so I listened to the Broadway station, of course. And Seth Rudetsky was on, and he played, he said, here's... Seasons of Love from Rent, and he plays it, and I'm going, this is such a weird version.
Yeah.
And it was Japanese.
Oh, that's like my call tone when I call my mom is wicked popular in Japanese.
Well, and I couldn't find it. I couldn't find a recording of it, so I found this one. I said, well, I'm going to find another interesting recording of Seasons of Love and play that, and that's really the only reason. And I'm playing it because this is the season of love, and I love everybody that's here.
It's hilarious. Liz found a site that has Broadway show tunes in Japanese. I will have to get her to share that with
you. It's okay. It's the moment is gone.
Well, being that I'm Japanese stuck in an Italian-Irish body, that excites me.
Okay, well, there. So checking in with Nicole Shiro.
I'm here. I had some computer shenanigans going on, but Alex this morning made my day. This gentleman, Alex, he probably gets people yelling at him all the time for computers, whereas he told me it was a power cord issue and it was a very cost-effective way that I had to fix things. I was like, really? Really?
Alex,
I love you.
Alex is good about that. We love him.
So.
I want to remind, I also want to thank Tracy for a wonderful remix with a theater bend to it. So
the Mr. Schultz.
That was great. I will also say, since we do like to let people see how we make the sausage here, I'm just talking to the folks that are sitting right outside the control booth right now to come on into the studio. Okay.
Oh, yes. Come on in.
No, they'll hear us in 40 seconds. So
they will.
There you go.
It'll be a mad rush to the door.
It'll be a mad rush to the door. I do want to remind folks, if you're not listening to the podcast, you should be listening to the podcast. And you get that podcast by going to offstageonair.com.
Yes.
And clicking and putting your name in. We'll send it to your email.
Yeah, it's
you can
so
subscribe
cool.
to us in iTunes.
You can. And you can also leave a review.
You must.
Yes.
Yeah, we've got a lot of reviews,
so,
meaning goose egg reviews.
Yeah.
We need some reviews.
Good reviews.
Yeah, we want good reviews.
Nice reviews.
You can also get us on the Stitcher app. So that's Backstage and Offstage. That's a chance where you're gonna learn about our guests and what makes them tick. You're also going to learn the answer to the quiz. There are the trivia question. All right.
I had totally left that in my bag. I had to disappear.
So let me introduce the folks that are here from Austin Theater Project. We have David Blackburn.
Hello.
Hello. We have Barbara Schuler.
Hello.
Merritt Haynes.
Hi.
And Scott Garrett Graham. Hi. Howdy. I love that. You're so perky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so we had an opening on Broadway. It's been a long time since we've had an opening on Broadway.
Yeah, it has been. It's been a little bit of a lull.
It's the January, probably not since the end of the 2014. Is this the first one this year?
No.
Don't know.
No. We've had like two, but they were like real early.
Yeah. And of course, I've lost the piece of paper, but it's called The Humans. And love story to The Humans. Anybody else read the reviews?
I read bits and pieces, but I didn't see any glaring mean stuff going on.
No mean at all. No. It is a love story. It's directed by Joe Mantello. The playwright is Stephen Karam. And they just said really wonderful things about it. And the picture in the New York Times shows the three of the leads. One of them is Sarah Steele, who plays the character Bridget Blake. And if you are a West Wing watcher, you know her as Alan Cumming's daughter.
Yes.
So
I love her and him.
So Charles Isherwood says this is the finest new play of the Broadway season so far by a long shot. It's got a peerless cast whose members all inhabit their characters as if they've been living in their itchy skins forever. Joe Mantello stealthily navigates the play's delicate shifts from domestic comedy to painful conflict. So it's about a family.
I was about to say family problems.
Yeah, it's about a family that lives in a lofty thing in New York and the issues that surround that family. That's it.
Voila. Well, that's no, it. I thought it was kind of cool. There was some...
Y'all can step up to microphones.
I want to say, I think it was pictures on Playbill. There was somewhere where there's some photos from the show.
Okay.
And I can't remember where I saw them.
I don't
them.
Know. So it also stars Reed Bierney, Arian Moyad, who I don't know. So he's just said just really wonderful things about them. The ensemble cast is as fine as any seen on Broadway or off Broadway.
I saw that they mentioned the cast, and I thought that was cool because we like that.
And I love this. He says, I've written many times of Mr. Bierney's excellence, but his performance here moved me so deeply, I find myself reaching for new superlatives.
Oh, yeah, that's not often. Hmm. Isherwood wrote that?
Isherwood, yeah. And the final thing he said in the last paragraph, which I like to read, is The Humans is a major discovery as a play, empathetic as it is clear-minded, as entertaining as it is honest.
Hmm.
And then there's a review from the one I liked from Time Out New York. It says, it's the kind of show that we must usually go off Broadway to see. A thoughtful new play by a young American writer with a cast of expert local actors. I like that. I like that sentiment saying that it's a good thing that we're seeing off Broadway work on Broadway.
Yes, I agree with you.
What?
I agree with you. I know. I know. Stop the press.
Wait a minute. So it looks really good. And here's a picture for those of you who want to see it. I'll just throw that around. And here for people on the air that you can see it.
The magic.
I've lost my script. What's next? The other thing is another show that... Well, I'm going to talk about that later. Today Ticks. Have you heard of this app?
No, I saw this on here, and so I didn't...
Was that the one that you gave to me? Yeah, you need to speak into a microphone if you're going to talk.
I gave that to you.
That's right. I didn't remember that's the name of it. But it's an app that you buy tickets within a week. It's for same-day thing. But there's a very big article in it in the New York Times today... Or yesterday, actually. It's very interesting. They've raised $16 million. They're currently selling 4% of all Broadway tickets.
Yeah. That's a good amount.
When did
they launch?
About a year and a half ago.
So that's a good percentage.
But what's interesting is they have not had... They're not getting any support from the Broadway theater owners. So they can't they can't go into the database.
Right.
So what they do is, this is amazing. So if you buy
a concierge service.
If you buy a ticket on their system, somebody goes to the box office. So you can't, so for Broadway, you can't name your seat. You can say, I want something in the lower orchestra or the upper mezz or whatever. And then somebody physically goes to the box office and buys a ticket and meets you there in a red shirt or red jacket and hands it to you when you get there. Have you done it, Barbara?
Yes.
And is it, tell
it
us
works.
About the experience.
It works. Brian Lasoya, who used to be, you know, one of our
Brian Lasoya, local talent.
Local talent.
And ex-co-host.
That's right.
Or a,
and
a,
he lives in New York now. And one of his first jobs was working for them.
As a red coat?
As a red coat. And so he got me into it and gave me his little code for a discount. And so the first time I was there after that, we tried it. It was miserable weather, and somebody went and did all the work and brought us the tickets. Being an ex-usher for many, many years, yeah. I like picking my own seats.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was great. We had no problem.
Well, all the other theaters that they have contracts with, they do, like all the off-Broadway, and they have now contracts in, and I may have these wrong, Los Angeles, Chicago, and D.C., as well as London. So they're doing really, really well. One of the investors is Andrew Lippa.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's good.
That's cool. And I did not realize that the Schubert organization owns Telecharge.
I did know that.
And the Niederlander has a long-term agreement with Ticketmaster, but I didn't realize they owned a Telecharge.
Yeah, there was, because it came up in, I want to say, the late 90s, early 2000s. There was a little brouhaha about that.
When they were rebuilding and they went to the Marquee for
something,
a while.
There was brouhaha. It's been a while, so I don't remember exactly what, but yes, that you say that, I remember.
So I have a little bone to pick, which I'm hoping doesn't stay very long, but it's kind of leads into our next thing, because that's where I saw the article. Playbill.com just changed their website.
They did.
They changed it.
Yeah, and they were very proud of it and sent out that email, and
I didn't get an email. I discovered it when I went on today, which is fine. They're conforming to more of they're good for tablets and phones, but what they're not good for, which is what I've always done, was they don't print the print function
the
doesn't print, work as well.
Yes,
and
the
I
old
had things
print
that
function
just,
was awesome.
I just had things that simply wouldn't print, and now because the old print function stripped out all the photos and it just gave you the text.
The printer friendly little, and it had its own little link.
Doesn't
yeah,
have
it
that
was
anymore.
Pretty
and I had one article awesome. That I just that it would simply would not print. It's like it froze up my computer. But part of me was going, I liked it the old way. But then I thought, you know what? It's just something we have to get used to. We get, other than the print function. But what it means is, I'm going to go back to remember when I tried to do everything on my tablet?
Yeah, you're going to try to do it again.
Going to go back to that. Playbill.com.
I started learning how to use OneNote more, and I could do that now and make the clippings.
I use Adobe. So the article, did you see the article about the African-Americans on theater? They were talking about how the Oscars, very commonly known, are not very
diverse,
and there's like no African or no people of color that are nominated. Well, then this article talked about how on TV that's not the case. There's lots of diversity, but also on Broadway,
correct,
lots of diversity, and just the rich numbers of really good African American parts and shows. Allegiance, Hamilton. The Color Purple, obviously. And Huey, which is opening next week, has Forest Whitaker playing the titular role, which I had to look up again. Well, it makes it.
Would it be
fun,
a week without you looking
it.
Up a word? It is fun to say.
But we've already done titular on this.
That's okay, but you could say it as many times as you want.
I am. Titular.
Thank you.
But he's doing Huey, which is the first time a black man is playing that role in a major production.
I think it's cool.
It's cool. All right.
Wayne Brady was talking. He was on the Today Show this morning talking about the diversity on stage.
And they talk about Billy Porter won the Tony for playing in
Lola
in Kinky Boots. And he's writing a show.
Yes.
Called While I Yet Live, that it played once, and they're going to do it again.
I was like, I think at Workshop, there was an article on that recently, too.
In Pennsylvania. So that's
Don't forget my football man, Eddie George, playing Billy Flynn in Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it any good? I mean, I read
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's been getting...
Is he good?
He's been doing a professional Shakespeare for years and doing acting and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, this isn't
like
he
thought
randomly...
thought it came out of nowhere.
No, he went and auditioned and begged for the role and showed up to auditions. This was all him.
Good.
Yeah.
I also just want to say, we talked about this on the show a year or so ago, the Steve Martin, Edie Brickell show.
Yes.
Bright Star is coming in really soon. I believe it starts previews relatively soon. And on their website, which there's
a
link.
Oh, gosh, because it's almost March. Yeah, I think it does, Lisa.
There's a link on offstageonair.com. It's got a lovely little video that shows their rehearsal process and has interviews with lots of the people. And so that's it. And you see Steve Martin and Edie Brickell and... all those other people that are part
all
of
those other people
yeah,
that are part of the show.
You sent me something about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory that...
you laugh. You read it and the headline says, closing in London, set sights on definitely coming to Broadway.
Yeah, but they don't
so
have
then you open it and then it says, we'll still be running in London through 2017. I'm like, well, that's not really closing right away.
It didn't say when it was closing.
And then it says, hasn't set a closing date, but will be closing 2017. I'm like, well, that's ridiculous. Then you read more, and it's going to come to Broadway for sure between the for the 2016-2017 season. But there's not... They name directors. It's not going to be Sam directing it again. I think it's a Jack or John O something, O'Brien. If I remember correctly.
Jack O'Brien directed Sound of Music.
Yeah, I think that's who it is.
The Sound of Music here that we're going to talk about in a little while?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
All right,
don't worry about it.
I was like, oh, all right. Okay.
So there, I also, there's another.
But it's coming. That's exciting.
Excellent. There's another site called the New York Theater Guide, which I like to look at on occasion. And I was just looking at the site, and it said quiz. And so I pressed a little button, quiz, and they have a little quiz that's got five questions
on
it. Well, it's random theater questions.
Oh, okay.
And I will admit to this. The first time I took it, I did very poorly. So I took it again. So we're going to play the quiz right now. And those of you that aren't up by microphone are welcome to play as well, that are unsociable. But I don't judge. I don't judge. Okay, so who starred opposite? Oh shoot, it's multiple choice, but I don't have the multiple choices here. So we'll see if you just know it. This is going to be harder for you. Who starred opposite Daniel Radcliffe in Equus at the Broadhurst Theater in 2008?
Oh,
anybody? A horse.
And I saw
horse.
It.
Was true.
A horse.
Too. Richard
yeah,
Griffiths.
I can't remember. Okay.
I'm sorry. I thought...
I can't remember a name.
So you,
the horse is a correct answer, though. I'll take that.
Okay. She'll take it.
Hey.
You win. Eugene O'Neill won his second Pulitzer for which play? I'll give you two choices, and you choose from them. Long Day's Journey Tonight or Anna Christie?
It was Long Day's, wasn't
Day's
it?
Journey.
Everybody says Long Day's. Well, that's what I said, and I was
wrong,
and
Christie.
That's the only reason why I know it's another thing.
I say Anna Christie.
Anna Christie is correct.
Yes.
Yay.
I win.
Which won Best Play in 2008? Tony Award? August Osage County. Anybody guess? Anybody want to guess?
2008.
August Osage County. Anybody want to guess?
Would it be August Osage County?
It's August Osage County. Excellent. This one I knew, like totally when I read it, so hopefully y'all will know this. Don Dubrow, the owner of a junk shop, who along with his assistant Bobby and his friend Teach decide to rob a customer who they think owns a coin collection, name the David Mamet play. What's his name? Oh God, I just lost his name. Al Pacino got famous for it.
Yeah.
It starts with Blank and Ruthie, Blank and Ruthie, Blank and Ruthie.
Frankie and Johnny, right?
No. American Buffalo.
There you go.
And finally, who wrote the time travel story A Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Cart, upon which the musical A Connecticut Yankee is based? Y'all should have this one.
No.
Okay. No.
Mark Twain. Good.
Was it Mark Twain?
It was Mark Twain. Yeah.
Oh.
All right, so we want to run right to the trivia question at this point. So this is a trivia question. We ask the trivia question here. We give the answer at the top of backstage at offstage. So I ask the studio audience not to guess out loud here. You will get a chance to guess when we ponder ourselves backstage.
I chose this because we were talking about Yip Harburg a lot lately. So mm-hmm. I was like, oh, we'll choose one of those. So J.P. McAvoy produced the review Americana in 1932 using a talented stable of songwriters. Harold Arlen, Vernon Duke, Jay Gorney, Yip Harburg, Burton Lane, Johnny Mercer. The show only lasted a few months, but it gave the nation which Depression anthem? A, Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? B, Let's Have Another Cup of Coffee? C, I've Got $5. D, We're in the Money? Or E, We'd Like to Thank You, Herbert Hoover? That's kind of funny that E's in there.
Okay, well, there you heard it. So there you heard it. So we're going to take a little break and come back, and we're going to talk to the folks from Carnival.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And what am I playing to walk out with here?
This
is from Charlie and the Chocolate. That was a rhetorical question.
Oh, sorry.
This is from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
What a clever man he is.
We are back. You're listening to Lisa and Nicole at Offstage and On the Air. Earlier, we were talking to David Blackburn, Barbara Schuler, Merritt Haynes, and Scott Garrett Graham. And now we're going to switch gears and go a little bit south of the border. SOB, as we like to call it in the business.
SOB.
And we're going to welcome back to the show Mike Quinn and Rebecca Robinson.
Hi, Lisa and Nicole.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
Mike Quinn is the founder and the creator and the guru and the big cheese and the big man and the big dude of Carnival Brasileiro.
Brasileiro. And you know, omnipotence is a really hard thing to carry every day. So.
It's true.
But I appreciate the accolade.
You do a great job. So I can't believe it's been a year since you've been on the show talking about last year.
Was it 2 years? Maybe.
No, it was last year.
Last year.
100% last year. So tell folks about the event.
That's a big, wide open thing.
Well, we here specialize at big wide open things.
Remember those jokes I was telling
no.
you?
Before you do I do want to show our audience the poster. It
goes over well on radio.
It does, but Lisa holds it up for the listeners.
I usually like to call it Carnival because it's something people can relate to. It's Austin's Brazilian style Mardi Gras. And that's literally what it is. So it can't get any more basic than that. And Carnival and Mardi Gras are the same thing. They're celebrating the same beginning of Lent or the season right before the beginning of Lent. So it's a big
blowout.
Don't I
know? I'm a Catholic.
Yeah, I did that too.
I'm not really. I'm Jewish.
But
I am. It's all right.
I was. Not anymore. The Beatles saved me from the seminary in 1964.
Well, that sounds like a story.
And that's a true story. Anyway, we've been doing this. This is our 39th year, and it's become sort of a local tradition. And we started out with 1,000 people and have grown up to about 6,000.
So have you done it for the 39 years?
39 years.
So you started at age 2?
I started when I was 5. Yeah.
Oh, same.
This
came out of the samba group at UT, right, or something like that?
What was the question?
This event started in UT, didn't it?
No, not technically, no.
Okay.
The university
it's okay to make
to
me
have,
feel stupid on my own
an intensive
show.
Language program, intensive English
uh-huh.
for students wanting to pass TOEFL test, which gets them into universities in the States. Brazil used to send up a couple hundred students during their summer, which uh-huh. was carnival time in Rio or wherever, and they would send them up here to learn English. Well, they were homesick, and they were missing their big annual blowout. So there was a Brazilian woman who organized a party around 1971 or two at the Unitarian Church on Grover in North Austin, or used to be North Austin. Now it's like South Austin.
Now they call that Central Austin.
In any case, she did a little party for these kids. And then some other guys got hold of it the next year and did it in a bar. And then it went to somebody else who did it at Dobie Mall. And that was kind of a disaster. So I took it over in 78.
Mm-hmm.
And I rented a room with a dance floor. The woman before me did it in a room with a carpet in Dobie Mall. She had to rent a dance floor. I said, let's start over. So in 78, I did it at the old Boondocks Club, which was on 4th Street behind the bus station then, which all of this is ancient history because no one here knows what I'm talking about.
I know what a bus station is.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Wow. You know what? I can dish it out, but I certainly can't take it.
I know. You're just like I am. But the Boondocks became Club Foot, which is a big punk and new wave club in the 80s. Anyway, we had 1,000 people show up. The legal limit was 800. They danced off the dance floor. The paint had to be redone the next week.
Wow.
And it turned into a big deal. So that's it.
That's cool. So, and now there's like you're at the Palmer Event Center.
Palmer Event Center.
So it's that's that big.
That's 6,000.
That's big.
That is.
That's a big party. I mean, it's slightly bigger than the party I had at my house last week.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
So 6,000 people. That is huge. What? So if I'm going to go to that,
that's what she said.
I'm going to go to that party, what shall I expect to see? What? Tell me about my experience.
Well, your experience, my dear, is a personal matter. Oh. It's all up to you. No, seriously, people call up and say, how do I dress? I say, do whatever you want. I
mean, encourage people to come in costume, though.
I encourage people to come and have a good time.
Okay.
And if they want to come in costume, that's perfectly acceptable.
I was
what
just
the
quoting
costume
your
is
website.
Like. No. No, costumes are encouraged. it's come as you are, come as you will be, come as you used to be. I don't know. But there's no requirement for costume. And I'd say about 20% of the people don't have costumes. Uh-huh. And if you want to get in the spirit once you're there, we have body painters and airbrush painters and...
And I'm sure I'm wrong about this, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. Is Austin Samba School part of this, or do they participate in a big way?
They've sort of grown up inside of Carnival over the last 12 or 13 years, but they are part of it, and they do their little show about 9 o'clock, and then we transform to Susanna Sharp on stage, and they play an excellent variety of traditional carnival music.
Okay. They're amazing. I'm not a, samba dancer by any means or any kind of dancer. But the other day I had the pleasure of listening to Austin Samba for a few minutes. It's impossible to sit still.
It's infectious. It is.
And watching the amazing dancers and I don't know, it's just fun.
What they clarify this, if people know anything about Mardi Gras in New Orleans parades are organized by various crews or groups from around the city. And they organize, they put the music together, they do the floats, they do the whole parade thing. In Rio, they have groups that are analogous to that, but they're called samba schools, which is not a school, but it's a group just like a crew in Mardi Gras.
Oh, that's so interesting. So Austin Samba School is not a school.
It's not a school. It's a.
And we
I
just
wish
had
they would,
them on the show.
I wish they would change the name because it's not Arthur Murray Goes to Rio. It's
so totally what I thought it was.
It's no. I know that, and some people really do think that.
But they do teach classes.
They do have. Well, they have classes, but it's a whole different thing. It's not Arthur Murray.
It's a whole different thing. I need to take a quick little side trip here. I'm going to give you a job. I'm going to ask you to please choose a number between 2 and 47.
17.
I think that's a good number. I think it's a popular number.
It's my age.
I feel like
it's your age. It's certainly how you
act. We have heard it some recently, but I don't think it was like last week or
okay,
two.
Here we go.
Hi, I'm Robert Biederman, playing Captain George Brackett in the cast of South Pacific on tour, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin 91.7 FM.
We did just hear Robert Biederman not too long ago.
We did.
So where can folks go get more info? Oh, first of all, tell us when this show
can I actually give a little bit more of an answer to the last question? Because we didn't really get into it.
Sure.
We got into this costume thing. What Carnival is in Austin, it does create an ambience that is very much like something you would experience in Rio. It's not like anything you've experienced in any other Austin gathering or party, South by Southwest, nothing. This is totally unique, and it's all up. The energy's high. Carnival is about losing one's inhibitions. And when you go into this room and there are 6,000 people wiggling around like sardines to Brazilian music, everybody's smiling. And they're having a great time in spite of beers being spilled on them and having their butts pinched. And that includes guys. It's really an amazing party. And it's not like anything you've ever experienced before. And people just come and lose it and have a great time. And it's all about just kind of giving up to the spirit. And the music kind of elevates you. It really does. And it's pretty phenomenal. So
excellent.
That's what you can expect.
So it's a very good experience for folks. So when is the event?
The event is Saturday. Doors open at 8. Music starts at 9. It goes until 2. And once once the samba school or the carnival group, the carnival drum group of 75 drummers and 75 scantily clad dancers start doing their thing at 9 o'clock, the music goes without stopping. Excellent. Until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Excellent. Where do folks go to get more information about the event?
The graffiti in the bathroom is...
Okay. SambaParty.com.
SambaParty.com is the website.
Excellent. Well, Mike Quinn, Rebecca Robinson, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And I know you're not going to be able to join us backstage, so maybe next time you come on, you'll join us backstage.
Okay.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
You are welcome. That was Mike Quinn, Rebecca Robinson of Carnival Brasileiro.
Brasileiro.
It's awful. It's at Palmer Event Center this Saturday, the 27th. Doors open at 8 p.m. For more information, sambaparty.com. And I've got to find the right...
Carnaval del Barrio.
We are back. You are still listening to Rio de Janeiro Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and Nicole. Let's just talk a little bit about local stuff. Not to sound like a broken record, but of course we're running behind, so we just get a little bit of time.
That's fine.
But I do want to talk about... did you see Broadway Across America's season for next year?
I did. Yes. There's some good stuff on
there.
I'm
excited about this season.
Every show I was like, ooh, so-and-so will be excited about this one. Yep. Ooh, so-and-so will be excited. I could think of someone for every single show. It was kind of funny.
In September's Newsies.
Yay. Yes. Very exciting.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see that. November is The Illusionists, live from Broadway, which is probably the thing I'm least excited about on this list.
I think it's going to be the thing that's going to surprise you.
You may be right.
Mm-hmm.
Cinderella in December.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. This is my least favorite. I totally didn't see it. Mamma Mia.
Thank you.
See, that's why I was shocked you said January. The Illusionist. Yeah. I was like, really?
I just totally didn't see Mamma Mia in the list until just now. Beautiful is coming March 21st. And I don't think that's... what's her name isn't touring with
no,
it.
No, she's doing... the new Sarah Bareilles
musical. I was like,
she's
in a new musical.
Oh, okay, that's right.
Waitress.
Something else I'm not all that happy about seeing. So actually, I like most of this season. Phantom of the Opera in April, and then Something Rotten.
Yay!
Oh my gosh.
A musical.
Yeah,
sorry.
We love Something Rotten, and of course, we have roots to Something Rotten in that Larry... Hockman, the orchestrator, has been on this show and is very good friends with Barbara Schuller.
Señorita.
Yeah, so excelente.
Yeah, no, I thought that was a cool season too. I was like, nice.
This is also this week, Thursday and Friday, I think, or Thursday through the weekend, is the Latino, the sixth annual Austin Latino New Play Festival. And you can get more information about that at teatrovivo.org.
Okay.
Do you have anything?
No. Well, I did, but I don't have dates and stuff because...
What is it?
My
just
printer,
say what it is.
No, my printer printed... I don't know. My printer printed...
All right, well, maybe it's one of these
blank
things.
Third pages of
I'm
stuff.
Just going to read off the...
So I had Medea on there with Austin Shakespeare.
Oh, we just had them on the show. So you can go back and listen to last week's show and you'll get
was
all
it
the...
just last week? Why do I feel like that was forever
And you'll get all the information if you listen to last week's show. And you can do that by going to offstageonair.com.
Where is that, Lisa?
Offstageonair.com.
Interesting.
1-800-OFFSTAGEONAIR. Don't do
but
that.
But wait,
that's not
there's
good...
more.
I don't know. I don't normally do this, but the... this might even have it. Speaking of that. No, it doesn't. Just the featured things on Now Playing Austin.
What was featured? That got you excited.
Well, nothing really got me excited. I just thought there was good stuff in here. Lettuce in Lovage is at... That's a Peter Schaefer play at Gaslight.
Mm-hmm.
The Mikado Reclaimed, which we talked about.
Yes.
Which is something I think everybody should go see. Murders and Moon Towers, a musical comedy, but Crank Collective.
We haven't had them on in a while.
They didn't. They asked to be on. You saw it?
Uh-huh.
Get on the microphone.
Oh,
talk about it.
Talk about it.
Yeah.
Well, it's my friend Cara Blay is in it, so I went to go see it. And basically, it was about the murderer who was killing the servant girls, and they... Kind of like it didn't really end with them installing the moon towers, but it was kind of like that the crime wave was like what led to that. So it's all Austin history based. It was cool.
Yeah, which is what Crank Collective does. They have the whole Texas history series that they've been doing, and I think that's part of it.
And there's lots of the Pippi Longstocking. There's some other children's theater going around.
Is it Scottish Rite, I believe?
And the James and the Giant Peach, which you know I love the James and the Giant Peach, opened at Zach.
Okay, so we're going to move on. Oh, the other thing is that we talked about them last week. Sound of Music is playing right now with our own local star, Quinn Erickson, student of one David Blackburn.
Did you listen to the interview, David Blackburn,
yes,
and hear us talk about you?
I was very proud.
We talked about you a lot. So
and did you download that?
And
or
y'all
listen
saw
live?
The show.
Pardon?
Y'all saw Sound of Music. Yes. So do you have a review? How'd Quinn do?
Well, actually, I was... when I looked at this season last year, I was like, oh, well, I don't want to see Sound of Music. Of course, that's the only one I've been to. But it was actually very good.
Yeah, I've heard good things about
it. It's a wonderful production. There's a lot. There's a much more energetic, young approach. Quinn was awesome.
Of course. We were supposed to go last night, but I was out of town and couldn't go, so we didn't get to see it.
The play's so much better than the movie.
Much better.
And people don't really realize they're two separate things. And
the sets were really nice.
The sets are very elaborate. Well, you know, it was backed by the Rodgers and Hammerstein folks, so...
Yeah.
They weren't going to do a bad job.
And the musical, the stage version, is very different from the movie as well.
So yes.
That's why people that are accustomed to the movie go to see the stage play version.
It gets
a little
dark and a little heavy. And
they'll hear about four or five songs that they never
heard
before.
Anyway, we've got to move on because we're running late. So we got to go straight to Playbill today in theater history.
Dun, 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 dun,
which I'm
going to
go very quickly through. But we have, I'm going to just not do those.
You pick a good one. Just pick a good one.
I'll pick
a really,
good
really
ones.
Good one.
In 1980, Whose Life in It Anyway, opened. It transferred from the Trafalgar to the Trafalgar Theater. Holy phase mirror. I can't even say that. But it was with Tom Conti and then Mary Tyler Moore replaced it. And that was one of the first gender switchings that we did.
Yeah.
And I rehearsed up there with them. I was rehearsing Elephant Man at the same time. They were rehearsing Whose Life. And there was some other hospital show. And it was all at the 45th floor of the Minskoff building. We called it the hospital ward.
The sick ward, the hospital ward. That's funny.
exactly. Let's see. Bright Lights, Big City opened off Broadway in 1999. And
God.
And Two Deaths, Don Knotts.
Yeah.
Who most people know from the Andy Griffith Show and Three's Company.
Don't forget
but
Mr.
On Broadway,
Furley. Do not leave Mr. Furley out of that.
I said Three's Company.
Oh, okay. I was like.
And then he was also in No Time for Sergeants on Broadway.
Yeah.
Also, Theater Man died. He was the co-founder of Circle in the Square.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And Howard Kissel, who was a critic. For, I don't know what paper he did. Somewhere in here it says, anyway, he passed away. He won the Pulitzer for writing a biography of David Merritt called The Abominable Snowman.
Dun.
Other birthdays, Abe Vigoda.
Oh,
who finally did actually
pass away. I know.
Yeah. Richard Shule, who you probably don't know him by name, but you would probably recognize him. And he was in Oh Brother with Me.
Mm-hmm.
Barry Bostwick.
Oh, love Barry Bostwick.
Rupert Holmes.
Oh.
And our own Roxy Becker's birthday today. And tomorrow, I just had to bring this one in. Tomorrow's birthday, Michael McKelvey.
Oh, well, those are all some very good birthdays.
Right, it's my mom's birthday, too.
You need to speak into
a
microphone.
It's my mom's birthday.
And it's your name. What's your mom's name?
My mom's name is Carla.
Carla,
well,
happy birthday,
bon
Carla.
Bon anniversaire, Carla.
Bon anniversaire. Okay, so we're going to go right into, what are we going to play? This was, and this was also the opening of Silk Stockings at the Cole Porter, George Kaufman.
Cole Porter, George Kaufman.
Anyway, with Don Ameche and Neff Hildegard. And here, let's listen to Don Ameche sing Silk Stockings.
Silk Stockings.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro. We're talking to David Blackburn, Barbara Schuler, Merritt Haynes, and Scott Garrett Graham. And Nicole Shiro.
And Lisa Sheps.
Just sitting down.
My ankle's really hurting me. That's why I just said to you, but you were doing engineering stuff. I said, I'm sorry I'm sitting on you. My ankle's really hurting.
Nobody sits on me anymore.
that was funny.
I hate that.
Oh, you cracked me up.
So all the way from down the street, we have Austin Theater Project.
They had to walk all the way up the hill in the snow.
In the snow, both ways. 5 miles. And to reintroduce artistic director David Blackburn.
Hello.
Producing director, managing director, Barbara Schuler.
Hello.
Who I spelled your name S-H-U-L-E-R. Actress Merritt Haynes.
Hi.
And actor Scott Garrett Graham.
Howdy.
Howdy. Scott, you've been on this show before, haven't you?
I have.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
You were the only one I wasn't 100% sure of, but I'm pretty sure you were on. So y'all, what show were y'all doing?
First Date.
Okay, thanks for being on the show.
See ya. It's good.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a musical, is it not?
Yes, it is a musical.
Relatively new musical.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Opened in 2013.
Yeah, 13. Yeah.
So I would say just two. Oh, I guess a couple years ago. 16. Wow.
Yeah. And this is the Central Texas premiere of said. Ooh, you gave me jazz hands. Yeah. That's going to look good on the video cast.
What? We're being filmed?
Somebody, what's the show about?
A first date.
Does anybody else want to talk? I mean, I can say what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah. Radio wants a little bit more explaining.
Well, it's basically about that the characters that Scott and I play get set up on a blind date, and he's kind of very nerdy and not my what I would think I would be going out with. And I go out on lots of blind dates, and he's never been on one. Oh. And then awkwardness ensues.
As most first blind dates go.
Yeah, that's true.
I assume.
This is true. The interesting, the twist is that the other people in this restaurant take on the roles of their inner thoughts and the people in their lives and try to advise and guide them.
Or ruin everything.
Day. Or ruin
in
everything.
In some cases.
Yeah. So they're not, is it only their inner thoughts or do they also have people, other people in their lives that are part of
it? It's their inner thoughts, their inner voices.
Inner voices. Yep. So it's really a two person show with
A cast of seven.
Right. The only other real person would be the waiter.
The waiter.
Yeah, the waiter's real.
Well, you think.
You know what? I like that you didn't discredit the waiter, Barbara. Because you know what? You really could go,
it's two people. Well, Reggie's real too, actually. He just leaves voicemails. He's real. He's not in my head.
That's true. Yeah. So okay, we have a combination.
We have a lot of real
both.
Real things. Well, let's just start right off. Y'all are going to sing a song, correct?
Yeah.
We may sing two songs. So set us up. Somebody tell us what this song is.
This is, I guess, Casey and Aaron kind of first getting an idea of the other, but they're not quite sure. And they kind of make things up in their head, but maybe it's for real, maybe it's not. You know, I mean, it's basically called First Impressions. But
which is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exactly what I just said.
Well, let's listen to it. This is Merritt Haynes and Scott Garrett Graham. That's hard to say.
Is it? Huh.
Yeah. Well, everything's hard for me to say. Singing First Impressions from Austin Theater Project's production of First Date.
So, do you agree with Kevin?
About what?
Am I really cute?
What? You can't say that.
Why not? You said you're an open book, so am I?
She's a little artsy. She's hip and cool. She's just like all those girls that ignored me all through school. She's kinda indie and pretty hot. She's a lot like all the things that I am not. There's some Asian symbol tattooed on her wrist. She's got the kind of look that says, "Hello world, I'm pissed." She's sorta hostile. Her guns are drawn. Is it weird or just screwed up that I'm turned on? But that's just a first impression. I could be totally wrong. It's only a first impression. And maybe she's a stuffy and conservative, way uptight girl who's still a virgin, never goes past second base, suppressing every single urge until she marches down the aisle and finally ties the knot. She could want a giant family and be an opera devotee, hell, even have a PhD. Yes, that's who she could be.
I'm waiting.
Yes, you're very pleasant looking.
Pleasant looking?
I mean, no. Attractive, desirable, stunningly beautiful. How about thee, all the above? And what adjectives would you use to describe me?
He's a bit annoying and overdressed. He's got from, I wouldn't even know where to start. Probably likes to cuddle. Long walks in the park. And if he likes sex, bet it's only in the dark. But that's just a first impression. I could be totally wrong. It's only a first impression. And maybe he's a nasty, uninhibited, ferocious tiger in the sack. Rides a Harley, hits the gym, and makes his money dealing crack. 12-feet kids in private schools who treat him like a god. He could kick some ass just like Bruce Lee, engage in online piracy, and not take any lip from me. Yes, that's who he could.
That's who she could.
That's who she could be. But that's just a first impression. I could be totally wrong. It's only a first impression. Though the impression is strong, it never can hurt to question. Though I doubt this will lead to romance.
Sometimes the ones who seem great are a nightmare to date.
Either way, I've been burned.
But the one thing I've learned is oftentimes first impressions are worth a second glance.
It's worth a second glance.
A second glance.
Worth a second glance.
A second glance.
The
second glance.
Woo!
Yay!
That's a fun song.
Yeah.
This song, I like. Is it as fun to sing as it is to listen to?
As long as I breathe, yes.
Yes, it is fun.
Breathing is a relatively important thing to do on a daily basis.
Breathing's kind of important.
So does this open the show?
No.
It's our first.
It's our first song, yeah.
But there's a song before it.
Yeah.
With the ensemble.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but it is the first song that you guys sing.
Mm-hmm. See,
excellent! What fun! And this follows a narrative. Can we assume that you all get together at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, sorry. I'm the one that's an open book in real life, Lisa.
Spoiler alert.
Nice. Well, recovery. You know, one would assume it's very very rare that rom-com musical comedies don't end that way, right?
Yeah. Very much a rom-com.
Right. Very much.
But it does go very badly for a long time.
Of course it does. It has to.
It always has to.
I believe the
to.
Formula is bad. Boy meets girl. Boy loses girl.
Things go awry.
Things go awry. He sings a song. Boy gets girl.
Unicorns and rainbows.
Yep.
So what is it? David, yes.
Oh,
it looked
hi.
Like you were going to say something. I was just going
to
ask you.
So happy to be here.
I was going to ask you about this musically and what are some of the things that are either challenging or interesting about this music, because it's a fun score.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. It's just nice. I mean, this is the composers that I've never heard of or seen.
It's not Pasek and Paul.
No.
Who did it? Who are they? Oh, he's got
Alan Zachary and Michael Wiener.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's Mr. and Mrs. Zachary and Wiener's kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They're out of Seattle.
Okay.
They wrote this show based on their own experiences of first dates.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask, I go, isn't it personal? I remember when they were doing all the press when it was in New York, and I remember there was one good interview talking about the personal stories.
And what is the instrumentation? What's your band?
I'm on piano, then I have a second keyboard player filling in with lots of interesting sounds.
Mm-hmm.
I have a reed player playing five different instruments throughout the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Guitar, who's playing electric, acoustic, and banjo. And then I have a drummer.
Right, and I understand that your banjo player just learned the banjo for this.
He learned the banjo for the show.
Isn't that
Did
amazing?
He really? That's kind of cool.
Bryce Rafferty.
That's pretty, yes. Well, shout out to Bryce. And his parents, Diana and Michael.
Yes.
So it's a family affair.
I was going to go there, and I didn't, but you did for me.
It's a family affair.
Yeah.
And Barbara, you are the director. I'm going to make you get up and walk to the microphone.
Yes, I am.
Okay. How was the directorial experience for you?
Well, we had complications, as you well know.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, we had to change venues midstream, which is always fun because then you have to re-block, re-choreograph. People ask you questions and you go, I don't know. We'll find out when we get there.
Huge
but,
deal.
I mean, I had seven people, some of which were brand new to us, who were just wonderful.
Thankfully, it's a relatively small and intimate show.
It's a small cast. We cut the set down three quarters of the way.
So this was a show that was set to go into Ground Floor Theater.
Yes, it was.
And as everybody here knows, the Ground Floor Theater was forced to close about a month ago. Yeah. And so you were like troopers. Found
we
in
were.
Another place.
We were determined.
At Balance Dance Studio, which is sort of hard to find.
Yeah, but, a little bit.
But what I like to tell people is go to it like you're going to Central Market South.
You take a right.
And instead of taking a left onto Westgate, you take a right.
I think that's how I first described it to you. Yeah. You were like, where's this balance? Yeah. I'm like, right exactly. across, take a so, right.
And there's a huge marquee
it's a
outside.
Giant
there's
sign
a huge marquee, so but you don't really see it until you enter the parking lot.
Right.
It's yeah. a neat facility.
It's a very nice
Kathy
facility.
Rocks.
It has its problems, which well, it's, know, we're it's overcoming because there's
not,
no choice.
It's a great facility. It's just not made for theater.
It's a wonderful dance facility. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That place is crazy mobbed every single day. Yeah. So
we're we got another 3 minutes or so. Did y'all want to do one more song?
That'd be great.
A shorty? Yeah. A short one?
A shorty?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's short.
Well, let's see what happens. I'll just turn your microphones
off
if you go over.
There you go. Sounds good to me.
What song are we going to sing? We don't know. Okay.
Yeah, did we say we were going to do something safer? That will last? What, you want to do safer?
Or something that will last? We can do something that will last.
What do you, okay.
Something
that
will last.
One, so
okay, let's go.
One.
Talk for 5 seconds. I got to get to it.
Okay, so,
okay.
So 5 seconds isn't
very long.
They're
going to be performing another song.
Right. Do you want to know where our date? Website is so we can, you
we're
can
gonna,
get
we're going we're going to have time for
okay,
that, yes.
Well,
but you can go ahead and give it a...
seconds yet? www.austintheaterproject.org.
Awesome.
I am standing at the start of something that is new. I can't keep building walls despite what I've been through. If I may have found the someone, the one I should be looking for, I'd be a jerk to run away. So I'll hold my breath and stay.
There's a person by my side. She's not who I had planned. Yet I feel a sudden urge to reach out and take her hand. And I yearn for letting go of all the baggage in my past. If I don't try, I'll never know just how far this thing might go.
We can make it to tomorrow, or just end it all right here.
We could fall flat on our faces, or fall more in love each year.
With so little to be sure of,
possibilities are vast.
This may be one perfect moment, or maybe this is something that will last.
As promised, we're going to cut you off before you're done.
I love Lisa's hands and Dave's like, Dave's
well,
like,
we have a bunch of lines that happened there that I didn't really think about and was like, oh. Yeah,
well, it seemed to be a good spot to fade out. Yeah. And it's a lovely song.
Just a teaser.
And in order for folks to hear the rest of it, they're just going to have to come to Balance Dance Studios and see the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
So once again, give us the website that it's at.
www.austintheaterproject.org. Theater R-E.
Theater R-E. And you're playing now. When do you close?
March 5th.
We play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday this weekend, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
of
the
next
closing
weekend. Well, great. Well, can't wait to see it again. Actually, I have not seen it yet.
You watched it on the video monitor.
I have
out
been
front.
Watching it on the video monitor.
You really
out front.
Should come inside.
I am going to come inside. But thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Y'all are
going to
stay and play with us backstage amongst
sure.
the dumpsters?
Yeah.
Excellent. Great. That was David Blackburn, Barbara Schuler, Merritt Haynes, and Scott Garrett Graham of Austin Theater Project's First Date. They're playing at Balance Dance Studios, which is 4544 South Lamar through March 5th. For more information, austintheaterproject.org.
The check, who's going to pay the check? It's a mystery where everything...
Oh, okay, the curtain has just come down on Chaos the Musical.
It took
the story
it
of a hapless young tornado in search of love in the weather-stricken areas of Tasmania. I don't know what any of that means. But here we are backstage. We've gone backstage through the door. We're here in the dumpsters with the rats and the cats and the mats.
And the bats.
And we all have tats.
There you go.
And the bats. And here joining us backstage is the whole crew. Barbara Schuller, welcome backstage.
Hello, thank you.
Why don't I hear you, I wonder?
I don't know.
There you are, because you're not speaking into the microphone.
Okay.
That would be the reason. Scott Garrett Graham.
Hi.
The hardest name to say, because it's too alliterative.
It's just Scott.
It should be Gary.
Gary
Garrett Graham.
That's a first. That really
is. Gary Graham.
Gary Graham. That's not bad.
David Blackburn.
Hi, Schleser Schleps.
And Harriet Haynes.
Hi.
Welcome backstage. So we're going to start off with getting the answer to our trivia question, which I wasn't listening to. So we should. I can say it now because
totally
I
totally forgotten it.
I couldn't. Oh, she's going to remind us what it is, but she couldn't. We couldn't say it on the air. We had an emergency alert system that happened in the middle of that.
Oh boy!
That only I could hear, and because there's a 40-second delay, we have to keep going as if nothing's happening. So I'm not sure exactly what that emergency alert system cut out of our show,
but we missed
a little bit.
So I heard it. It was before us. I could hear
you need to be on a microphone.
You heard it
if you're
in yours?
Speak.
Yes, yeah, I
could
hear
it in my headphones. In the background.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes.
All right. Well, here's a refresher. J.P. McAvoy produced the review Americana in 1932. Using a talented stable of songwriters, Harold Arlen, Vernon Duke, Jay Gorney, Yip Harburg, Burton Lane, and Johnny Mercer. The show lasted only a few months, but gave the nation which Depression anthem? A, Brother Can You Spare a Dime? B, Let's Have Another Cup of Coffee? C, I've Got $5. D, We're in the Money? And E, We'd Like to Thank You, Herbert Hoover. The last two are just hilarious. Yeah.
So, well, hold on. You don't get to say it yet.
I won't say it yet.
So give the microphone back to Merritt.
Okay.
She gets to guess first.
Oh, okay. I guess A.
She guesses A. What song was A?
Brother, Can You Spare a Dime?
Brother, Can You Spare a Dime?
That's what I was going to
guess. We'll take David last because he seems very sure. And you're also...
I was going to do A as well. So
you may. Okay.
Scott
you
is saying A. Barbara?
No wrong. You can all pick...
I'm going to go with... I think it's C, the one I've never heard of, the
$5
one.
C, I've Got $5?
Okay. Yeah, because I've never heard of
that. I've got $5. Mom and Dad says... I know the song.
I'm going to go with A because I did an arrangement of Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? And I know one of those is the author.
Okay, and I'm going to go Brother, Can You Spare a Dime?
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Probably
all wrong.
Drum roll. A, the iconic, but here, I'm going to clear up the other songs for you too. A, the iconic Brother Can You Spare a Dime was the big hit from Americana. Let's Have Another Cup of Coffee was from Irving Berlin's Face the Music, 1932. Mm-hmm. I've Got $5 was from Rodgers and Hart's America's Sweethearts, 1931.
Oh, and Ella Fitzgerald has a wonderful version of it.
Okay. Dubin and Warren's We're in the Money is from the movie Gold Diggers of 1933, later used in the 80s stage version of 42nd Street. And of course, the funny one, We'd Like to Thank You, Herbert Hoover, is from Strauss and Chardin's Annie, 1977.
Which we also talked about at last week's show.
Yes.
In my little quiz about presidents.
About your presidents.
Yes.
That's right.
I chose this one for you, Parberg, and I never really go in the 30s and choose questions. I thought that was a fun one.
Yeah, it was a fun one.
That's the first trivia question I've gotten right.
Oh, yay.
There's always, I don't know them all
So now, what did you do the arrangement for?
I was working for a dinner theater in
Big D,
Florida.
Florida, that's right. Where you met one Barbara Schuller,
Musicana.
Correct?
Musicana.
Well, we didn't meet there. But we saw each other perform and didn't know it.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of funny.
It is.
Yeah.
I have those moments, too,
We were
too,
within
though.
Blocks of each other at the same exact time.
Have we told that story on a backstage yet?
I don't know.
I don't believe so.
Well, tell us the story about how Barbara Schuller and David Blackburn met up, because you were both in Orlando at the same time, but you didn't know each other, right?
Right.
Correct.
And we didn't know each other, and we didn't meet until 6 years ago?
Yeah.
When a friend of mine said, this woman in Cedar Park is looking for a piano player and music director for the Fantastics, and I can't do it, and so... Here's her number. So I called her, and I started playing the overture.
And then he didn't want to do it. He calls, he comes over, and then he's like, I don't really want to do musical theater anymore.
I had a not-so-positive experience with another producer in town.
Here in town?
And I
Was
had,
it me?
No, this person's no longer around. And I had just said, that's it, I give up.
Oh.
And so I'm driving out to Cedar Park going, why am I doing this? I don't want to go through this again.
And I think I played the piano for all of 90 seconds, and we talked for like 3 hours. And
wow. Yeah. Just and then you did the Fantastics.
We did the Fantastics.
The fact that you were playing the fake keyboard at the same time makes that whole thing better.
So can you, without giving anything away, can you tell us about that experience that you didn't like, that almost got you out of musical theater in Austin?
I'd rather not.
Oh,
because there are working actors in town who were part of that experience.
Okay. What was it that you didn't like? Just that it was a people thing?
It was a buildup of things, but it culminated with the producer / director stepping way over bounds.
Okay.
So we just decided to base a lot of the ATP things that we will or will not do and how we treat people on the exact
like
opposite.
That.
Good. Well, that's the way. That's
I was like,
the,
that's, well, those
Barbara and I did
are...
shows for 2 years, and we kept saying, when we have our own theater, we're never going to do this, or we're going to start treating people like this. Or, and then it happened.
And then it happened.
And we had to be like,
here we are
nice.
In our fifth season.
And well, you've just sort of answered the question. So y'all met 6 years ago doing Fantastics, and y'all just immediately launched into Austin Theater Project?
No.
About
a year and a half later, you know, after saying we have to do something, we have to work for ourselves. We just finally did.
Well, great. And I will say that as the host of your shows in our theater, quite often, except for right now, we've been so fortunate to have you as part of our family.
Thank
Aww.
You.
Yeah. So I'll just say that.
The same. We right. want to come home.
Yes, no, I
we'll
agree.
Come home. We're looking at, so for those of you listening, we are hoping to open in June, which is in time for Dogfight, which is the next Austin Theater Project show. So that is our hope, and that is our wish, and that's what we're aiming for. So that's good. Scott, what's your story? Have you been backstage before?
Yeah, for
okay, never
Forever
mind
Plaid.
Okay, then forget it.
Yeah.
What's your story?
Oh, man.
Tell us a story. Tell us any story.
Southern boy, Houston, Shreveport, raised kid.
Those sound like two different cities to me.
What?
Houston,
yeah.
Shreveport.
There's a lot. They
Very
are,
much.
But there's a lot
states.
Of Houston.
Yeah.
You
Very
know
much.
There's a lot of Houston, Shreveporters.
Left Shreveport after I graduated, moved to L.A. for about 4 years.
Is that the one in California or the other one?
That L.A.
Uh-huh.
Not the Louisiana. The, yeah. yeah, the other L.A. I was there about 4 years pursuing music and kind of acting, not much.
So you do
what
commercials.
What kind of music? Sorry.
I was in a band. Sorry.
Yeah, oh, you're
kind,
in a band.
Yeah, what kind of music? That's why I'm asking.
It was a different
like,
band. This was the guys that I had played with in high school. And we went
like
to
rock.
Still haven't answered the question.
Sorry.
We're hard. Tongue,
we are hard hitting.
Well, it was death polka, so I don't really want to.
There you go.
Say death polka. I love that.
It's
really?
Just, no.
It's like it's that the accordion. Hard,
Screamo
heavy,
accordion.
Heavy
yeah, yeah.
rock accordion.
So
music.
While you were in L.A., is that when your family moved to Austin?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So while I was in L.A. in 2005, they moved to Austin. My dad wanted to retire, and I was already nipping at the butt to get out of L.A. because it was destroying me. And so I moved. So I moved here, well, Lago Vista specifically, and then moved into Austin slowly.
And excellent. And you're speaking of Lago Vista, your mother is involved in the theater there, is that correct?
Yes, Lake Travis Music Theater.
Lake Travis Music, nice. Music Theater in Lago Vista.
They've had like four or five seasons.
Four or five seasons. Where can folks get information about that theater, do you know?
I think they have a website.
Lake, yeah, Google it.
Yeah, Lake Travis
Lago Vista.
Music Theater.
Lake Travis. Yeah. LTMT.
Yeah.
LTMT, that sounds good.
We did Fiddler on the Roof last year. And then,
I was like, what are you doing? But now I got it.
Yeah, they're doing Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
So we're sticking to biblical stories.
Yes.
Okay. that's
Fiddler's
important.
Not a biblical story.
It's not a biblical. It's
when did Fiddler become biblical?
It's got roots in religion. So I said
religion is
that.
Roots. Yes, I can
yeah,
see
so
that.
Yeah, so actually, yeah, the
oh
Book of
God.
Tevye is important.
It's like I missed that biblical lesson then. Yeah.
Well, slide that microphone over to Merritt. And
hello.
Hello. Was the last time you were here was from Avenue Q?
It was.
It
was it
so
really
long
that
ago.
Long
it
ago?
Has, it was, okay, can we talk about this? Avenue Q was only a year ago. It seems like
it was
a million
revival.
Years ago.
Yeah. It did seem like it was a million years
ago. Listen, last week seems like 4 weeks to me.
Yeah, well, I can say both Avenue Q's to me feel like they were a really long time ago, but I loved them so much.
So what's been happening since you were here a year ago?
Well, when I was here a year ago, I think I was talking about how I was getting my master's in community and regional planning, so I did that. And now I do research for the state.
You do research for the state, and you have a master's in is it like in city planning? Is that the kind of?
Yes. Now,
we need help.
I know, but the thing is, unfortunately, like even if I was working for the city, you know how cities are. They're so bureaucratic.
Yeah, no, I don't mean we like ground floor theater needs help, which we do.
You do.
But I mean we like the city of Austin
overall
needs
yes
help.
And I will just say that the reason, well, you know, I mean, it's really hard to get a planning job. So that's why I'm researching right now. And then, you know, one day.
So I have a vision of you in
like,
I have a vision of you walking the stacks of the Library of Texas Congress, taking out, like lifting, going up a little stairway and picking up a big old dusty tome and pulling it out and blowing off the top of it and dust comes out.
With her gloves on, by the way.
You're donning your white, and I'm not done. I'm donning your white gloves and you're very carefully opening the things to find out that little nugget of truth that will bring light and justice to the state of Texas. Is that correct?
No. I wish that was what I did. That sounds so romantic. Google is mostly what I do.
Yeah. That's kind of funny.
We love the Google.
The World Wide Web is forever.
Yeah. So I wanted to see you also. I did not describe the fact that you were wearing one of those visor hats, too.
Yes.
I will say
that's
though,
like OTB, with those, man, with that's like off track betting.
With those things that go on your wrist that don't go all the way up, they stop.
Gloves.
That printers wear. No, they don't. No. They don't cover the hand.
Cuff protectors.
Thank you. Well, so that's a relatively new job then.
It is. I've been there 6 months, pretty much on the dot, almost exactly, which is great because it means that I get to take vacation time now.
Vacation. Where are we going? Are we going to go?
Oh, I'm not going anywhere. It's just that before, like, I literally had no vacation time at all. So
it's the knowing that
it's
you
just
can.
That, like, if I need to take time off for something, like being on the radio, I can do that.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you've done it.
You know we're a vacation destination?
Yeah, I do know.
But I have a lot of friends that are getting married, so I'm mostly using it for that.
Oh.
That's good.
So we can sing Sunrise Sunset to keep that all going. When my sister got married, we used Sunrise Sunset at our wedding, and I thought it was like the most clever, original thing ever.
Can I just say what songs were in my wedding?
No.
Please?
I mean, yes, please.
Okay, because it was awesome. So
first of all, when did you get married?
I got married in 2012, so take note that this was before even the first production of Avenue Q that I was in.
Okay,
so I had not been in Avenue Q at this time.
Tell us about your husband.
So my husband's name is Steven. He's awesome. He's a YouTube star.
Okay.
So
does he have a YouTube channel?
He does. Yes. His YouTube channel is Dr. Kendo Commentaries.
Dr. Kendo Commentaries. Check it out.
Yes. So we got married in 2012, and we had almost all musical theater songs in our wedding.
Uh-huh.
But the end, after the "You May Kiss the Bride" moment, we walked out to the Kate and Rod duet of Fantasies Come True.
Aww.
And it was beautiful.
That's great.
What?
Does he sound like?
Avenue Q.
Oh.
Yeah. And so, but it was before I even played that part. So that's why I think it's like really cool.
That's cool. It is kismet.
Yes.
It was meant to be. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us back here and backstage.
Enjoyed being had.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, David Blackburn, you make me smile.
Well, great. Well, as we walk out to the, we're going to walk out from backstage as Merritt and Hubby did. I forgot his name already.
Steven.
As Merritt and Steven did, we're listening to Rod and Nikki right
Kate.
Now.
Kate.
Rod and Kate right now singing.
Fantasies come true.
Fantasies come true. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Come true.